Guys, I just appreciate you coming tonight. Come on into the group so we can get in the circle here. So just kind of give you an idea. Obviously, we've done worship. We're going to hit a little bit of a teaching time, but then we're going to go into the share. The sharing part of this men's group is the meat of our group. That's where we get to know each other, but it's also where we actually allow ourselves to be transformed by what God's doing in our lives. And then after the share, we pray over each other. And so we just hear what God has to say for you, and we repeat that to you for encouragement and also leading you into what God has for you. What I wanted to share today is interesting. I had something in mind, I ended up calling a friend of mine that I've known since I was 4 years old. I mean, someone who's known me my entire life and known me through good times, through hard times, through telling Ian he was a part of when I got engaged to my wife 26 years ago. Like, he was part of that process of how I asked her to marry me. He was also one of the people I contacted when we went through a separation. And we're really a hard time. He was there for me. It was just a dear friend. As I've shared a couple times already and here, one of the things that for me is like I felt like that if anyone really got to know me, that they would reject me. And so I always kind of had this feeling that there was something significantly wrong with me growing up. And the fact that I had him as a friend was just a lifeline to me, that I had someone that stuck around me even when I felt bad about myself. And it reminded me today just of that as I was talking to him. It's like one of the things in this group and the times of we're sharing for each other, sharing with each other and praying with each other, we're starting a foundation that can build relationships. And I think we're starting to get that. I mean, obviously from day one, y'all have been going for it. You've really been sharing your stuff and it's been really good. But throughout the week, you know, I encourage you to grab someone's number before you leave here. If you don't have anyone's number, give them a call, go get coffee, do something to maintain these relationships. Because the thing is, when we're here, we're getting filled up. But when we go back out and we're facing some of those same struggles we've been facing already and being tempted, if we have each other's phone number, we got someone to lean on, we got someone to call, we don't have to go through it ourselves. We actually are called to be in the body of Christ. We're to encourage one another, strengthen one another, build each other up. And it's really hard to do that if you don't let people in. And so I was reminded of that when I was talking to my friend today and wanted to encourage this group as before you leave, if you don't have someone's number yet, get someone's number and make a phone call. Even if it's a great week, everything's going well, give a phone call because it makes it a lot easier when you have a crappy week and you need to call someone. You've already built those relationships. So I wanted to start off with that and I had something else to share, but I do want to talk about that. What I wanted to share today is actually about King Saul. And the King Saul in relation to Samuel's role in his life. And this is coming from 1 Samuel 9 and 10. If you're not as familiar with the Old Testament, Samuel is actually a really interesting book to read, both 1 and 2, because there's a lot of stories in there. And so I encourage you to read it. I'm going to hit some highlights on chapter 9 and chapter 10, but I would encourage you to go back and see what else you can find as you read through it. This is a story of Samuel, the prophet. He's the man of God. People kind of go to him to hear what God has to say. And then at this moment, Saul was in a point where his dad lost some donkeys. I would imagine it's a lot of donkeys, expensive. They were worried about it. I don't really know all the details there, other than they were worried and they sent Saul out to go find it. And he went from town to a couple of different towns, could not find the donkeys. His servant goes, well, there, in this town, there's a man of God. Let's go see him and we'll see if maybe he has an idea where the donkeys are. So that was in Saul's mind when he was going to meet Samuel. But Samuel had met with God earlier and God told him that he's going to introduce him to a man of the tribe of Benjamin that's going to come and he's going to be the next king. So when Saul comes to Samuel, he's thinking, where's my donkeys? When Samuel sees Saul, he's like, this is the next king. And so already this, when God wants to show up for you, it's not always when you expect it. So when Samuel tells Saul what he was saying, Samuel's like, wait a second, I just came here to look for donkeys. I'm from the least tribe, and even in the tribe of Benjamin, I'm in the least clan. Basically, I'm a nobody. What are you looking at me for to be the next king? But Samuel continued to speak into Saul's life. He encouraged him to stay for dinner. He said, I set this aside knowing you're going to come. This meal is for you. And it says that by the time Samuel left the next day, that his heart had changed. And I don't want you to get too caught up, because we all know how King Saul ended. But right now, in this moment, God was calling him to be the king. And he used a man of God to speak life into him to the point where he actually started believing what God has said is true. And this is actually what this group is about. When we're doing the prophetic time at the end, usually the shares, some have been good, they're all been good, but some of them are like been painful. You didn't actually want other people to know, and you're starting to get healing because you shared it, but you come away thinking, crap, I'm going to get rejected. I just shared something very personal, and now I feel vulnerable. I feel I want to sneak out of here almost. And then when the prophetic comes and someone's praying, it's like, they just heard all my crap, but they still see this in me. And that's transformative. So when Saul is in this moment with Samuel, he's like, I am this, I'm this. It's almost like saying, you've got to be thinking of a different person. This cannot be me. And Samuel continued to speak life and saying, this is who I say you are. And so that his heart changed. In this room, we get a chance to believe in people when they don't believe in themselves. And we get to believe in them until they believe in themselves. And then we get to believe in them even until they start seeing the fruit of what we believe in. And there's power in that, because the world is not giving us things to encourage ourselves, right? People are dying for lack of encouragement. But in the body of Christ, we are called specifically to encourage one another, to build up one another. And the prophetic is the best way of doing it, because then as we're listening to what God says about each other, what he does is he tells us secrets about one another. And it's scary, because we think the secrets he's going to tell is all this crap that we believe in ourselves. But the secrets he wants to tell about each other is what he loves about you. And he's always like, hey, if you knew this about him, you would love him like I do. And so as we get to hear that, we start loving each other well. But then as we tell each other that stuff, then we start believing it for ourselves when people say that. And then our hearts get changed and we start believing God. So every time we have a prophetic word, it's an invitation to not only receive what is said about us, but to think about ourselves as God thinks about us. So it's an invitation to make that change. The words that we get are not a guarantee that this is going to happen. It's an invitation to hold on to it. Luke 8, it talks about, what the seed goes out. There's a testing of the word. And it's also in John 8, when it says that the truth will set us free, right before, if we hold on to this teaching, the truth will set us free. There is a part of the prophetic word we need to hold on to that it will set us free into what he's called us to. But we see with Saul, in verse 6 in chapter 10, it's like he said he was turned into a different person. And in verse 9 of chapter 10, he says he left and his heart changed. So those two things are the invitation of what that prophetic word can be. But then also when he left, he has all these kind of things that Saul tells him is going to happen, and it happened. And he gets home, and his family basically wants to know what happened. And he kind of told them he ended up meeting Saul, but he didn't tell him that he said he was going to be king, specifically his uncle. He's like, he didn't tell him that he was going to be king. And then we see when he became, when Samuel's bringing him in to basically herald him as king, he hid him among the baggage. And what we see here is, even from the very beginning, what he held on to is, I'm the least, I'm a nobody, you've got the wrong person. Even though his heart was changed and he started believing the word, there was fruit. So again, the Luke 8, where there's the seed being thrown into many soils, so the seed starts springing up, there's seed, there's immediate fruit, but the thorns of the world. So the thorns with Saul was, he was an imposter, that he was a nobody, that Samuel had the wrong person. And so you see that when he had a chance to tell his uncle what had happened, it's like he didn't want to tell him. It's almost like, yeah, you're not going to believe it. So why? I don't want to hear this doubt, and so I'm not going to tell you. And then I'm hiding in the luggage because, again, if people see me, they're going to realize I'm the wrong person. And if we don't deal with these lies that we're believing about ourselves, we're going to actually sabotage the word of God in our lives. And this is actually what happens to Saul later on. Chapter 13. So he's already been king for a while. He's fighting the Philistines, I think it is. They're surrounded. He's supposed to wait 7 days before Samuel's going to come and give the offering to seek God's favor before they go to war. And it's like the seventh day, everyone's scattering. He's getting nervous. He's already feeling like their people are leaving because he's not a good king. And so he decides, I'm going to do the sacrifice, you know, so they'll stick around. And then, I mean, right after he does the sacrifice, Samuel shows up and says, what have you done? And he says, well, you know, you're late, so I did this for you. Basically, I was scared everyone's leaving. I needed to do something to make him stay, so I do this. When we feel like, when we start believing the lies about ourselves, if you felt like he was an imposter, he feels like he's a failure, I need to do something to fix this because God's not going to come through for me, then we do stupid things. And we sabotage the word God has for our lives. And the interesting thing is with this story is in verse 13 of chapter 13, Samuel tells Saul, if you had waited, I would establish your kingdom forever. We know so much about King David, and King David did such a wonderful thing, and you know his throne is lasting forever. What we forget is Saul was not just this temporary king. There was a pathway for his kingdom to last forever, but he sabotaged it. And so what I want to get to today in our shares is two different things. And you can do either one, you know, whatever. But one is, what is that thing that you feel like God's placed on your heart, that this is the thing you're kind of moving towards in your life? But it's that thing that is impossible if God doesn't get involved. Because the thing is, when God calls you to stuff, he's not calling something for you to do that you can do in your own power. He's calling you to something where you can believe him that you need him to come through in order for it to happen. But along with it, and this is, I don't know why this is, and it's just, I've just seen this from experience, but that calling on your life that God's placed on you, the enemy knows what it is. And from a very early age, he's been putting stuff, lies in your mind to pull you away from that destiny. And so for Saul, it was, I'm an imposter, I'm a nobody, this is beyond me, all those type of things. But for you, it might be something different. So one of the things that I mentioned last time I shared was that I felt like God called me to write books. And at one point, I felt like he wanted me to write a book about how to overcome addiction. And at the time, I was still working through my pornography. And so it was that for me especially, I felt like an imposter. It's like, what am I haven't even got this figured out yet. Why am I writing a book? But I felt like that the wording he was getting is that it was that the book was part of my healing. That the process of thinking through and writing it all out was part of my healing. But then at the same time, as I was writing, it's like, I don't want to publish it because I don't want to be known as the porn guy. I mean, to be honest, I was starting to get okay with sharing with some of my friends, but I didn't want, like, the world to know. And not that the world knows I've written a book, whatever. But you know in your mind, once it goes out there, right, you just don't know where it's going to go. And it's like, I don't want this.
Face on the front cover.
Yeah, exactly. And but it's like, it was the invitation God had for me. That there was healing in it in the midst of it, and there was healing for me in the midst of it. It's like the thing that was I was taking solace in King David. Well, he wasn't king yet when David fought Goliath, right? He like Saul's like, here, take my armor, take my sword. You know, if you're going to do this, let's get you dressed up. And David's like, I can't use this. This doesn't fit. It's not right. You know, whatever. He's like, I'm just going to take the slingshot. And so. And he goes out there and he kills Goliath. But what does he do after he kills Goliath? He takes Goliath's sword that was heavier, that was bigger than what Saul had, cut off Goliath's head, and then chased all the Philistines with Goliath's sword. Mm. It's the weapon of the enemy that he's been using against us that we can then use against him. So he was using against me this pornography, this thing that, this pain and this feeling that I was messed up, I was a failure, that I'm never going to accomplish anything. That in writing this book, he wanted to actually overcome that. That it, then it's like, then I can release other guys from that same addiction, that same power of fear and self-condemnation. So for me, it's like, that's what I want to get to for us. It's like, there's something that enemy is using that's keeping you from that goal that he's calling you to. And it, a lot of times, for like if someone is struggling with pornography, I was, that's all we can see. But there's other things going on, right? Like, I felt like I had nothing that anyone would care to say, because I didn't feel like that, if anyone got to know me, they would reject me. I felt like I was a failure. I felt like, so like anytime, I wouldn't even do this, because this group would have been too big to share any, like what was going on. But God had something that he wanted to give me to release to other people. And I needed to believe him in the midst of it. And so in walking that out, part of the writing the book was walking that out for me. And so I've written 10 books now. I've written plenty, but this is like one of the first ones I put out. I did put my face on it, whoever said that. On the back, but still. But in writing, it's like, even if nobody gets anything out of it, and it's not like I sell a lot of these, but it's like, I look back at it, and I'm comforted by it. Mm. And there was something he had for me in the midst of it. And the things that he's calling you to, they might impact a whole bunch of other people. And more than likely, he does that. But it's not, he wants to do it because he wants to impact you. He wants you to see yourself as a valuable son. He wants to see how much he delights in you and how much he's put in each one of you. That you're not some loser that he felt sorry for. But he saw you as like, I love this guy and I'm coming for him. Suhail and I met just yesterday. And just really briefly, you just mentioned about how God came to meet you at a Methodist retreat that they weren't even sharing the gospel.
They didn't even believe in heaven or hell. Or they believed in heaven, but not hell.
Right. God reached out to you because he wanted you. Even working around the circumstances you were in because he wanted to reach out to you. And a lot of us have that same story where he came after us because he wanted us. And even though some of us, maybe we grew up in church. We grew up with a family who brought us to church and different things. Still, God wanted you. You didn't just happen upon that. So for today, as we're doing our share, the two things are, one is, what is it that you feel that God is leading you to? What is that impossible drive or thing that you feel like he's calling you to do? The other one is, what is it that consistently keeps you back from following after God? If it's pornography and that's what you want to share, or if it's, you know, some other kind of addiction or something, that's fine. But it's like, I think there's some kind of, like for me, it's like that feeling of failure was such a strong thing. It's like, I did not want to step out in anything because I did not want to be proven a failure. I can go in reasons why I felt like nobody would go around me. And so I had all these experiences and different things that kind of proved that nobody wanted to be around me. But God said, no, as people get to know you, they will love you because I put something in you. And I had to choose to believe that and step out and walk in it, even when I felt like I was going to be a failure and be called out and be alone and be ridiculed or whatever. Because as I stepped out in faith, then I started realizing I have been believing a lie. I've been believing a lie, and he has a new truth for me.
That's good, brother. Yeah. Jump ahead here, but that's really powerful. That lie will, you know, sabotage. And I like the word sabotage because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And sabotage is the word or the promise that God has put in, you know, inside. And I thought that was really a powerful statement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, the enemy knows you. Not to scare you, but he knows you. Mm-hmm. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of who you can become. Mm-hmm. That's why he's worked his entire life, your entire life, to get you to disbelieve what God has for you. Because if you believe the lie, you're never going to step into the truth he has for you, that God has for you.
What was the thing that you said at the very beginning, that God sometimes shows up for you not when you think or not in the way that you think?
You're not expecting it in a way you don't expect. Like, he was looking for the donkeys, and Sam was going to anoint him as king. Mm-hmm. And so he just wanted help with the donkey. And God's idea of what he wanted to do was much bigger and completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That didn't go this way, but even so, it's like some of you, all you want to get through is this pain that you're feeling right now. And that's all you want to get past. God, if you could just heal this pain. And God's calling you to something completely different. He's completely just something that's going to rock your world. That pain is, he'll use it because it's drawing you to him. But he wants to rock your world.
I think the part that's really hard is the waiting period. Mm-hmm. And that's where it reinforces the lie. Because it's like, why is it taking so long, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when we definitely need people in our lives. Because we're so invested in the pain. Not invest is the wrong word, but we're so aware of the pain that it's hard for us to look beyond it. And having friends that come alongside us who remind us what God's doing in our lives, that's what gives us the strength to continue on. There's a story when David's running from Saul. He's all this pain that he's going through. And there was one time he just was so in a bad place, and Jonathan came and strengthened him in the Lord. And David learned to do it himself, but in that moment, he had a friend come to him.
He had an ally.
Yeah.
An advocate.
Right. And that's what we can be for each other, and really find other guys that are going to be alongside you. Yeah. So, we're going to go into the share. So the way we do the share for the new people is we have 3 minutes, and we'll time it so you can know when that's up. The reason we do 3 minutes is look around the room. We've got a lot of guys here, and we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to share that. And then we're going to go around the room. We might stop on someone for a little bit, especially if you're feeling a lot of pain. We'll kind of reach in that. We won't let you just linger on that. But then afterwards, we'll break up and pray for each other after the share.